Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today is a very special day within the church year. It is All Saints' Day, a wonderful time where we remember all of those who have come before us, all the good Christian leaders and examples that tell us how to be good Christians ourselves. I myself was not raised Catholic, but I had many of my family who were Catholic, and they could name all sorts of saints, and they prayed to them regularly, found great comfort into it. And though we, as Lutherans, do not pray to saints, we still find great examples in them about how God works in his people's lives and how we can emulate them. And this is a day that we take to remember those people. I myself remember two examples that have always helped me personally in my walk of faith. The first one was a man named Saint Augustine, the Bishop of Hippo. Some background information about him is that he was a man who wrote. He was always in the scriptures. He studied them religiously, and he was able to see how God works, how his Son is so crucial for salvation. And he did a lot of good things in his time as a bishop. He helped people. He was able to mediate between different people who had problems. And he was the perfect example of a good Christian leader, one who was able to do many great things. All more miraculous that he himself did not start out as a Christian. He was a pagan. And yet, God led him to greatness so that he would be a leader in the church. He would even go off to inspire Martin Luther, who himself was an Augustinian monk, whose the order came from his name. When I look to him, I see a great example of a Christian leader. I also look to another saint, Saint Francis of Assisi. And this was totally different than Augustine, for he was a monk who would go and found security and help in nature. He found God in everything, and he was one of the most perfect examples you could ever hope for as being someone who understood the role of being a steward of the earth, but as well as being a brother to everyone. He was selfless. He gave from what he could, and even more. And he was so well-renowned that there was a story about him going to the Holy Land during a crusade, going into the tent of the Muslims, and he was revered and even was celebrated there. And that he did not want to fight, but only wanted peace. For him, my example came from how to be a Christian who seeks that peace, even amidst his enemies. And everyone can even think of other examples. Maybe you can think of saints from that you know, or maybe even from your own family members. For we believe that all saints come from even our humble beginnings of our families. For me, mine was my grandfather, who was a lawyer during the 1950s for children during divorce cases, where he would advocate for the child instead of either parent and what was best for the child, even going as far as sometimes not even taking money from his cases and not charging for them because he wanted what was best for the child. These examples have helped me and have made me grow in my faith as well as my life as a Christian. We always have these examples, these wonderful paragons of faith. But there's a problem with that. Our society today often takes and makes paragons of people, whether that be Christians, whether that be saints, or someone else. But when that falls, when we see them for what they are, human, we often have to wonder why we even wanted them to be an example in our first place. A popular thing in our culture now is to raise someone up where they can, so they can do no wrong, but as soon as they sin, as soon as they're found not to be as good as we thought they were, they collapse in our eyes. And we have no hope for them. In fact, we want nothing to do with them. So herein the problem comes with All Saints' Day. It is a time when we celebrate those who have come before us, those who are gathered now, and those who will come in the future. But why should we celebrate them? They're human like us. My grandfather was a great man, but he sinned. Why should I look up to him? He's just like everyone else. Why should we look up to St. Augustine or to St. Francis or any of the saints or any other Christian for that matter? When we celebrate All Saints' Day, as we do today, we celebrate the saints, but we celebrate more because we need to go to the heart of the issue. We need to go back to the beginning, back to understand why we celebrate these people, even if they were unworthy. It goes back to John. You see, John was an apostle during the time of the great persecution, Roman persecution. He himself would be, banished to the island of Patmos, where he would write the book of Revelation. But before that, he was writing letters to the churches in Asia Minor. And he had his ear to the ground. People were worried about whether they were worthy enough to be called children of God. What did it mean to be a child of God, to be a saint of God? How can I be when I'm so unworthy? Why are all these bad things happening to me? What does God find in me, or what can I do to be worthy of God? He writes, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." John calls each and every Christian something truly special. He calls them children. Okay, so raise of hands here. How many of you chose to be a child? Good. Well, we got one. Yeah, enter the kingdom of God. Very good. But you don't choose that. But anyone here choose to be born? Okay, good. No hands are being shown here. I actually had one person raise their hand in the beginning and last service, but I think it was just kidding. We don't choose to be born. We did not choose to be conceived, and yet we were. We did not choose to be children, and yet everyone here, from the little of us sitting to the oldest of us, have been a child or are a child. You see, we did not choose to be God's child. God chose for us. Augustine didn't choose it. Francis didn't choose it. And not even my grandfather or any of us. God did. John wanted to make it perfectly clear that every Christian of all time and of all places did not choose to be a child of God. God chose them. But it goes even more to know that. For John gives a command. See what God has done for you. Okay, we go back to the basics. What does God do for you, for his people, for his saints? Well, see what God did to Adam and Eve. You see, even in their brokenness, when they disobeyed the law of God, God had compassion on them, saw them in their sin, and said, "There will come one from you who will rescue you and redeem you." See God's love. When in the time of Noah and the flood, when all of the creation was flooded, God still preserved man through Noah and his family. And he promised that he would never destroy the world in such a way. You see the love of God when he took Abraham and Sarah and led them through the wilderness into a place that would be their own and promised Abraham, "I will make from you a mighty nation, my own people, and they will be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands on the sea." See what God does for his people. When he leads them in the wilderness, when he rescues them from Egypt, leads them through the wilderness, and brings them to a place flowing with milk and honey and all the promises that God would be with them and they would be his children and he would be their God. And we see the kind of love that our Father has, that even when his children are rebellious, when the people of Israel turn away from him, they worship other gods, he still goes back to them. For when they cry out for help, he goes to them. He rescues them time and time again without ceasing because he cares for them, because he has claimed them as his own. See what a great love our Father has, that even as he drove his people into exile, he still remembered that promise that he made to Adam and Eve centuries ago, that he would send a Savior to them. And see the love of God our Father when he sent his one and only Son into the world. And see how even that goes beyond, where his Son gave wonderful examples about how to live, how to treat other people, that he even gave his own body and blood to eat and to drink. And we can see the Father's love for the world as he put his only Son on the cross for you, so that your sins might die with him. And we see the love of our Father when he raises his Son Jesus from the dead and gives a promise that all who believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is what John means by see what God has done for you and for me, that we should be called children of God, chosen from him. For we are all chosen of God in Christ Jesus, given wonderful gifts, so that we don't have to be the best person, like leader, like Augustine was, or to live a life that is wholly committed and wholly precious to God, like Francis did. We strive for those, and we do those because God loves us and we want to worship and honor him, but it's not a prerequisite. God chose us to be his saints. And on this All Saints Day, we remember that. For he chose you because he loves you. We are God's saints and his children. But that can be difficult to see on this side of eternity. John understood that, for he writes, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." We live as God's children here on earth, knowing in faith that there will come a time when we will see him face to face. We know that as we live on earth, there are those of us who have fallen asleep in Christ, those who we celebrate today. It's a wonderful thing, because as we know, God claims us as his children. He gives us promises, promises that we can hold to, promises that those who fall asleep in him are worshiping him right now at this very moment in glory, and that we worship with them. He has given us promises today through his body and blood, through communion, that we will partake in this service. That is a foretaste of the feast to come. And there is more to it than that. For he has called us as his own people in all time and in all places, so that when we approach his altar and receive his body and blood, we do this with those who have come before us, the hundreds and millions and billions of Christians since the beginning of time are gathered there with us, partaking of God's body and blood. We know that even in the present day, those surrounding us are eating the same body and blood, having that same forgiveness of sins that he promised to us and all of his saints. The same for those who will take it here in Blessed Savior, those who partake of it in Belleville, Shiloh, and Muskoka, and even those in Africa, Australia, China, and all over the world, at all times, at this very moment, at this very time, God promises that he will be with his children, giving that same forgiveness. And even in the time to come, the saints who are yet to be born, we celebrate with them at this moment here and now. For God promises that all who come to his altar at any time and any place will receive forgiveness of sins, and that he chose them to be his children. And we purify ourselves because we know the example of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so even with this forgiveness in our hearts, we emulate that. We are kind to our neighbor. We do our best to live as godly people, being good leaders and good stewards of what God has given to us. And we also remember that God is always with us. So on this, All Saints Day, let us remember that we are all God's children, that all of us are connected to him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that he has given himself to us, that we might see him face to face one day. And always remember, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that you are a chosen priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may proclaim the excellencies of God, who called you out of darkness, called you to be his children, and into his marvelous light. Amen.